Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
September marks Sepsis Awareness Month, where experts aim to highlight the severity of the condition and highlight the fact that more people die of sepsis than of stroke, and very few of us can recognise its signs. So Dr. Michael O'Dwyer is the lead of the National Clinical Programme for Sepsis, and he joins me now. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Alfred. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Not at all. First of all, I just want to ask you, Michael, what is sepsis for the people who aren't familiar?
Yeah, so sepsis is a really serious condition, and really it's the extreme end of an infection. And sepsis is where the body responds improperly to that infection.
Okay.
So the processes that the body normally uses to fight infection turns back on the body and causes organs to stop working properly, causes this chain reaction that results in organ failure, and if left untreated or picked up too late, can result in death.
How does a person get it, Michael? Is it, you know, after something else may have happened to them, or how does it generally happen to people?
Yeah, so the prerequisite is that you have an infection. So
okay.
It's the consequences of an infection. You have to have an infection.
Mm-hmm.
Most commonly, it starts from the numbers that we see coming through. Most commonly, it starts as a respiratory tract infection, a pneumonia that may or may not have treatment. So, you know, you might start on antibiotics, but they're not a perfect treatment, or you've never had antibiotics, and that infection gets worse. And then what we see with sepsis is you get this whole body response. So you start to see signs that are not related to where the infection started. So you might have signs related to your blood pressure. Your blood pressure might fall very low. Your kidneys might start to function incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, you know, things like a cut on the end of your finger. It's when the infection leaves that part of the body where it started and starts to affect the whole body,
yeah.
That's where you have sepsis, and that's where the real at-risk period is.
So it can start for something as small as that, you know, a cut on the end of your finger that got maybe infected.
Absolutely. A cut on the end of your finger, it's infected. You've had some bacteria that have gotten into the bloodstream, and then it will start to affect parts of the body distant from where it started. It can happen to anybody, so anybody is at risk of it, but there are higher risk groups, and so mainly the elderly, so
yeah.
70 and upwards, are people who fare poorly when they develop sepsis, the very young, people who are pregnant are at higher risk as well, and people with chronic diseases, particularly people who are on medications that might affect their immune system,
sure.
Like chemotherapy or steroids or something like that. Those are the sorts of people that are at risk of sepsis developing from the beginnings of an infection.
So, Michael, you said earlier on that it can, if it's left untreated, it can be fatal. Does it lead to many deaths in Ireland?
Yeah, so the numbers that we record in the HSE and our most recent reports are coming from 2021. We're looking at about 13,000 patients that develop sepsis within the acute hospital setting.
Uh-huh.
And the mortality rate from that is about 1 in 5. So the numbers are really, really high.
Wow, that's very high. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So So 1 in 5, so 20% of it, you know, people who receive or who end up with sepsis, that's what that figure is, that they will die from it.
Yeah, so it's important to take these numbers in context. So
sure.
The mortality rate from sepsis is about 1 in 5.
Sure.
But very few infections end up as sepsis. So we don't want to scare people unnecessarily.
Of course.
The body is really good at treating infection. And particularly if you've gone and you've sought help and you've had antibiotics, the chances of that developing into sepsis are relatively low. But we still see the severe end of this in the hospital sector. There still are 13,000 patients coming in developing sepsis. and 1 in 5 of those patients do die. Now, the majority of those deaths that we see are in the elderly, and they're patients usually who have got other conditions. They might have disseminated cancer.
Sure.
They might be older, frailer, and on medications.
Sure.
And so it's a high number, but it does need to be taken in context.
So for people who do survive it, Michael, can it have knock-on consequences later in life? You know, can they suffer from any complications from having had sepsis and survived it?
Yeah. So if you develop sepsis and you get early treatment, which is usually antibiotics, mm-hmm. And you get that supportive care within the hospital, that most people will survive with no long-term consequences. But there are a proportion of people who do survive that have very extreme consequences. So we talked about that whole body reaction. So there are people who've had to have amputations because of sepsis. Mm-hmm. As that infection gets into the bloodstream, it'll frequently affect things like the kidneys. So again, one of the signs is that you haven't been peeing as much, or you mightn't have peed or passed urine for the last 12 or 24 hours. That can develop into kidney failure, usually recovers, but then there are a proportion of people that end up dialysis dependent after sepsis. So it's a burden on those patients and can be a lifelong burden on the patients. But if you get in and seek treatment as early as possible, you lessen the chances of either dying from sepsis or of having any of these long-term complications.
So, Michael, you said you've been very clear that early treatment is the key to kind of ensuring that the patient has the best possible outcome. It's for parents particularly, it can be a very scary idea. How can you spot it in a young child? What are the signs that you might look for?
Yeah, so young children, to think about sepsis is that it is really difficult to spot.
Okay.
So there's not the clear sort of signs and symptoms that, you know, the public have all heard about, the signs of a stroke or the signs of a heart attack. Sepsis is much more subtle. It's difficult to spot in hospitals. It can be difficult to spot at home. In kids, we look for things like breathing that's really, really fast. Kids mm-hmm. can have fits or convulsions as the infection develops. A rash can be quite common as well. You might have heard in the past of this rash that doesn't fade when you press a glass on it, that was specific to meningitis. But mm-hmm. actually, any sort of sepsis, an infection that results in sepsis, can have a rash like that.
Okay.
Children might be unusually sleepy. They might be difficult to wake up. They might feel cold when you touch them. They're not feeding properly. They're vomiting repeatedly. So there's lots of, and again, the urine output. So if the kids have got nappies and the nappies aren't wet when you'd expect them to be wet, those are the sorts of signs to look out for. But look, parents and carers, they know their children really, really well.
Yeah.
And they know when things aren't right.
Okay.
And it is absolutely, they should be seeking help and seeking medical attention if they're worried.
Sure.
Their child has an infection, they're not getting better, and they might have had treatment, they might be on antibiotics, but they're just not improving like they would like. Those are the sort of people that we'd like to see seeking help so that they can usually just be reassured, but occasionally might need additional treatment.
And Michael, like you said, the facts, you know, the stuff like, you know, stroke acronyms have been really helpful to remember, you know, the signs to look out for, like the FAST acronym for strokes. You have an acronym for sepsis, which is sepsis.
Yeah, it's slightly more clunky, maybe perhaps than the FAST one, because the disease process is really subtle, and that's the problem.
Sure.
So we do have sepsis as an acronym, and the S would be for slurred speech or confusion, and particularly relevant in the our older patients who might have no signs other than new onset confusion. Mm-hmm. That's something to look out for in somebody with an infection. Mm-hmm. The E would be for extreme shivering or extreme muscle aches or an extreme temperature. P again for pee, for urine. They haven't passed urine in the last 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
S again for shortness of breath. Their lips might be a little bit blue if they don't have enough oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
I is people will frequently tell you, I feel like I'm going to die.
Okay.
And that's something to take really seriously. And the last S is for skin changes. So skin that might be mottled or discolored, or this rash again, more particular in kids, but you can see it in any age group.
Michael, I really appreciate you coming on. And people, of course, can go to hse.ie and search for sepsis there for more information. Thank you, Michael, for coming on this morning.
Thanks for having me.
That's Michael there. He's the lead of the National Clinical Programme for Sepsis. Dr. Michael O'Dwyer is his full name. He speaks to us there about sepsis and why September marks Sepsis Awareness Month. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.